Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adam's Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We've been looking at books that were given away as Christmas gifts by the First Presidency between the years 1981 and 2017. Currently, we are looking at a book titled The Teachings of Harold B. Lee. Harold B. Lee was the 11th prophet, seer, and revelator of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and this book was given away as a Christmas gift by the First Presidency in the year 2015. Yesterday, we were talking about what Harold B. Lee had to say on the importance of temple marriage and how Satan does not want members of the church to marry in the temple. And he was also stressing why it's important that Mormons are to marry Mormons. Those are his words, not mine. He says, it will be wise for Mormons to marry Mormons. Now, today, I want to look at another statement, which for me raises a lot of questions, but it has to do with when these temple marriages must be performed. What does he say on page 243, Eric?
Temple marriage must be performed in mortality. Marriage is not performed in the heavens hereafter. If you would be united for eternity as husband and wife and family, that sealing must be performed here upon this earth by the authority of the holy priesthood. Knowing and believing this, no one of you should be content until you have prepared yourself to enter into this eternal relationship.
Now, when he says that marriage is not performed in the heavens hereafter, the reason why that raised all sorts of questions for me is because in Mormonism, both husband and wife need to meet a certain standard of qualification, if you will, in order to even get into the celestial kingdom where eternal marriage takes place. But let's say or assume that the spouse has some kind of secret sin which would disqualify them to get into the celestial kingdom. Let's say in this case, the spouse happens to be the husband. The wife is counting on being married eternally to this husband who she did not know had secret sins in his life that disqualify him from being in the celestial kingdom and thus married to her as her eternal spouse. What happens to that woman? According to Mormonism, and this is the answer that I've heard not only from other Latter-day Saints, but one that we're going to hear from Heber C. Kimball, it appears that those women are going to be given to some other human, some other male who did qualify to be in the celestial kingdom, which, if he's there, means that he already has a wife that is sealed to him for eternity. Otherwise, he would not be there in the first place. I want you to listen carefully to what Heber C. Kimball had to say. Now, Heber C. Kimball, yes, related to Spencer W. Kimball, he was the counselor to Brigham Young. In the Journal of Discourses, in a speech that he gave on February 1st, 1857, and I'm quoting from Volume 4, page 209 from the Journal of Discourses, this is what Heber C. Kimball says about a spouse that doesn't make it to the celestial kingdom, but in this case, because of their own volition. Listen to what he says. Supposing that I have a wife or a dozen of them, and she should say, you cannot be exalted without me, and suppose they all should say so, what of that? They never will affect my salvation one particle. Whose salvation will they affect? Their own. They have got to live their religion, serve their God, and do right as well as myself. Suppose that I lose the whole of them before I go into the spirit world. but that I have been a good, faithful man all the days of my life, and lived my religion, and had favor with God, and was kind to them. Do you think I will be destitute there? No. The Lord says there are more there than there are here. More what? More potential wives are going to be there in the spirit world than there are here. Now, listen to what he says as he goes on in this speech that was given on February 1st, 1857.
In the spirit world, there is an increase of males and females. There are millions of them. And if I am faithful all the time and continue right along with Brother Brigham, we will go to Brother Joseph and say, and that's Joseph Smith, here we are, Brother Joseph. We are here ourselves, are we not, with none of the property we possessed in our probationary state, not even the rings on our fingers. He will say to us, come along, my boys. We will give you a good suit of clothes. Where are your wives? They are back yonder. They would not follow us. Never mind, says Joseph. Here are thousands. Have all you want. Perhaps some do not believe that, but I am just simple enough to believe it.
Now, listen carefully to what Heber C. Kimball says. The wives did not follow him, and Joseph Smith, and it's interesting, isn't it, that they have to go to Joseph Smith to solve this problem, as if Joseph Smith is going to be up there in the spirit world directing what goes on as far as the affairs of this celestial kingdom. Their wives didn't follow him, and Joseph Smith says, never mind, here are thousands, have all you want. Now, my question is, in this kind of a scenario, let's say Heber C. Kimball gets all these wives that he wants that somehow are in the celestial kingdom without spouses, and he takes these women to be his wife or wives, but we just read from Harold B. Lee that marriage is not performed in the heavens hereafter. So do they just live with Heber C. Kimball like a paramour, or are they not wives?
Well, I think this also brings up the question, what are women in the state of Mormonism in the next life if they don't have a husband who's going to take them to their own celestial kingdom? Because here are all these women, thousands of them, apparently. How does Heber C. Kimball get to choose? Is just walk along and I'll take you, I'll take you? It almost sounds, I hate to put it this way, it almost sounds like it's a slave auction, and he's picking which ones he wants, and he gets to choose. Do those women have to come to him if he chooses them?
I think most people reading this in today's age would say that that is certainly a sexist comment, very demeaning to not only women everywhere, but I would think especially Latter-day Saint women. The thought that, as you say, he can just go and get whatever he wants, and Joseph Smith seems to be going along with it. He's enabling this, but the question still remains, if marriage is not performed in the heavens hereafter, and it has to be done during mortality, what does the Mormon Church have to say about all those who tend to slip through the cracks? How are they going to be married? And I gave another scenario earlier on that if a spouse, let's say a male, was doing something that disqualified him for celestial exaltation, what happens to his wife? She's fully expecting to be in eternity with him. He doesn't qualify. So what does happen to her? She must, you would think, go to some other male who was qualified. And as I said before, the only reason another male would even be there in the first place is if they already had a wife that they were sealed to for eternity.
Bill, you have a story of Lori Hacking, a woman who was murdered by her husband. Tell us that story.
Yeah, this happened many years ago. It wasn't long after I moved to Salt Lake City, and this woman was killed in her sleep by her husband. He shot her with a .22 rifle and then threw her body in a dumpster. And it was a horrible story, and eventually they found her body only because of DNA remains out in the dump. Eventually, he had to confess to her murder. He was ultimately excommunicated from the church and is serving time in prison. Well, I remember at the conference center with a gentleman who was LDS who was taking me around the roof area, And he pointed out that a marriage ceremony had just been completed at the temple that we could see from where we were. And that brought up the subject of eternal marriage. And so I asked the gentleman, because this was a big news story at the time, what's going to happen to Lori, who went to sleep firmly believing she was going to be sealed to her husband in the next life, but ends up being killed in her sleep. Thus, her husband is no longer going to have any priesthood authority. He's kicked out of the church. What happens to her? And he said, you would probably have to ask a general authority, but I would assume that she would probably be given to someone else. Okay, let's assume she is given to someone else. How is this arrangement made if we are to believe what Harold B. Lee says here on page 243 of the teachings of Harold B. Lee? If there's no marriages performed in heaven, is she just going to be a live-in with another individual and share this individual with his wife or wives that were given to him in mortality during a marriage ceremony for eternity? You see, it starts to raise all sorts of questions. I don't think Joseph Smith ever thought about these complications when he starts coming up with all these extra biblical doctrines. No doubt he probably never thought through these things, but you can see how quickly it gets complicated and starts to make no sense whatsoever.
We have to understand, too, Lee's book is just a bunch of compilations of different quotes from all over the place. The quote we're talking about here on page 243 comes from a radio address that he gave in April of 1945. It was titled Unwelcome Wedding Guests. There's no way for us to go back and find this and see what the context is. But I'm just wondering if maybe a Latter-day Saint would say, well, this is talking about the time when there's only one marriage. Polygamy is no longer allowed in this life. And during Heber C. Kimball's life, it was during polygamous times. And so perhaps they're going to say, you have to get married to the first wife, and then maybe you can add on later, and that's just an assumed truth, I suppose you could say. But there's no context here for us to say this. We're just going what he says. Temple marriage must be performed in mortality, and yet there's a lot of other issues that come up when we talk about polygamy being reinstated in the next life.
I don't know how you can even escape the notion that polygamy is a reality in a Mormon hereafter. You can't say all of a sudden now they're not going to have polygamy in the hereafter. What are you going to do then? By what decree are you going to strip all those men who were married polygamously in mortality when it was being practiced in the LDS Church?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Looking for a resource written for young people that explains the Mormon religion from a biblical worldview? Mormonism 101 for Teens by Mormonism Research Ministries' Eric Johnson addresses basic LDS doctrine while answering important questions such as, is it okay to date my Mormon friend? This book will help you better understand what can otherwise be a complicated religion. Mormonism 101 for Teens, available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City, or purchase online at mrm.org.